Morning. You feel good waking up this morning after a Saturday like the Cats had yesterday. 38-14 win on the road against Vandy. This is the up and down. I feel like it's like a Jekyll and Hyde because I've only been here in Lexington for 2 years, so I'm kind of new to the Kentucky football way of life. And Angela, you've been here your whole life, and this is how it's been. Yeah,
You beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So that's been something that we've done for a half decade, which to me is good.
Yeah.
It's good that we could consistently defeat a team that we're better than.
Yeah.
Jimmy, this is what I've got to say about it.
Okay.
This is the worst good Kentucky football team we've ever had.
Yeah.
And I sincerely mean that as a compliment. Like, this could have been... Look, in Kentucky football history, and again, since you've got here early, you don't usually have great years after one of your best years because, Jimmy, mm-hmm. we don't really have best years. The last great year we had was 2007, and then Mike Hartline came back the year after and kind of like steadied the ship,
mm-hmm.
and then it just all kind of went severely downhill from there.
Very
like
fast.
Very, very bad under Joker Phillips. And I feel like if Terry Wilson doesn't get hurt, or if Lynn Bowden was the quarterback from the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm.
which he wouldn't have been because you can't
right.
you know, foreshadow Terry having a fluke catastrophic knee injury.
Yeah.
But after yesterday, we went up against a Vanderbilt team that had near a minus 20 point differential in points per game average. They were scoring 15, giving up close to 30. So
which
I guess it's more 15. But
generally,
whatever.
Not ideal.
No. That's not something you want to do. But Vanderbilt at home was outrushing themselves by 500 yards compared to on the road.
Yeah.
So this was a moment in which Kentucky could have given up on the season if they quit on each other.
Right.
And that's interesting because after the Tennessee game, Lynn Bowden kind of hinted at it, and one of the coaches, I forget which one, kind of hinted at, you know, they need to believe in each other. They
yes.
can't quit on the team. And Jimmy, I was just kind of like, I didn't even feel like this team was in that predicament, so it got me thinking, is there dissension on the team?
Yeah,
they came out and proved that it wasn't.
Right, and it was like the Jekyll and Hyde, the tale of two teams. Like last week, everyone looked deflated. Lynn looked deflated on the sideline. He looked like he was over it. And he was like, let's just get over this game. And that's not who he normally is. He's normally like he was yesterday, the happy, smiley, you know, happy-go-lucky guy. And that's who Lynn Bowden is, and that's what he finally looked like yesterday. And it was good to see that again. Oh, and by the way, the Cats rushed for 300 yards in the first half. Like 290. We'll give them 300.
That's unfathomable.
In the first half.
Jimmy, they had 200 yards 18 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
18 yeah. minutes into the game, they had 200 yards, which was, I mean, that's unfathomable. There's not really, to me, and you can give us a call, 381-1313. That's 381-1313. Here on Jimmy and Angelo, ESPN Radio Lex on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
at Jimmy and Angelo on Twitter. You already plugged the FB. It wasn't exciting. It was good to see
right.
yesterday, but I compared it yesterday on the UK Game Day post-game football show. It was just like a business trip, it felt
yes.
like, even though the fans traveled tremendously well. Shout out BBN for making to the game in Nashville. I mean, it was packed with Kentucky fans.
If you can go watch Kentucky and, by the way, be in Nashville, which isn't a bad city to just go hang out in. So, you know, it's not that bad.
It sounds like that you've been. Have you been a time or two down
In town?
Nasty Nashville?
Oh, yeah. Inville. My brother lives there, so I go there all the time. But I love Nashville. It's fun. It's the Vegas of this side of the country.
That sounds sad.
All bachelorette parties, that is central there. That's where everybody goes.
Yeah, I heard bachelorette parties for sure are pretty big there.
They're
I didn't
lit.
Know.
You see those little bars where they're like, it's like a cart and you sit on the sides of it and they have little pedals where you have to pedal it and they feed you beer while you go. Those are everywhere in Nashville.
They're here in Lexington in the summer too. That doesn't
yeah.
look fun.
Pedaling
while drinking just doesn't.
It's a bachelorette party thing. I mean, I don't know. They're just like, oh my God, we're pedaling and we're drinking. It's so fun. We have twisty straws that we use.
That's the way that they can count their calories in an effective way. Well, see, that's how fun this game was. Essentially, I just threw something at Jimmy because of his impression of essentially Valley Girls. But I mean,
yes, every basic girl.
Every basic girl ever, which I mean, you aren't far off. It was, like I said, it was a business trip. It seemed like, I was telling Neil this, it's almost the opposite of going somewhere like Nashville, like where if you go on a business trip and you go to Nashville or Las Vegas,
it could get
or Miami, it's kind of like, you know, you need to lock yourself in the hotel and let your wife hold your credit cards so you don't do anything reckless. That business trip was like going to Tulsa, Oklahoma for a 3-day weekend where you're just like, all right, I'm going to find a hotel next to the nearest Applebee's in walking distance and
go get some riblets.
Yeah, you might actually get the hotel with a gym in it so you can kind of stay in shape that weekend.
Yeah.
It's that's what this was, man. It was, I remember there was a play in the third quarter where Kavassier Smoke on a 3rd and 26 caught a screen pass and got a first down. And after that happened, I was like, you just demoralized the boys. Like it's just Vanderbilt was done. Probably a large scale question. Do you think Derek Mason survives the season or survives into next season?
I think so. I think the players there like him. And, you know, comparing this week to last week, the temperature in Nashville with Derek Mason is totally different. Last week, he was the hero. Everyone loved him. He was fiery. He gets the troops going. So I feel like one loss to a Kentucky team. I mean, now if they lose out the rest of the season, just look terrible, maybe. But I think he's fine. I think the city of Nashville, I mean, I don't know the temperature. I don't live there, but I would guess he seems like someone that you rally around. Just guessing. You know what I mean?
Can we stop burying the lead?
What's the lead?
That Walker Wood should have been the starting quarterback from day one and that we'd be 10-0. He'd be the Heisman Trophy winner and we'd make the college football playoff.
Is that where we're going with this?
Walker Wood for Heisman. I don't know. It's starting. I would say that I saw someone tweet out. I said Walker Wood Hive is ready to breathe, and then someone tweeted out that he should win the Heisman. So I took it a step further and said we've been undefeated at this point. It was an arms race to who could have the hottest Walker Wood take. But I'm ready. I'm ready for Walker Wood season to fully come into blossom.
Are you?
Are you not?
I mean, I'm just...
You watched the same game I did, didn't you?
What I'm saying is I just don't know if I'm prepared for it. Like, I don't know if I'm ready as a person.
I mean...
what I'm saying. You're ready? I just don't know if I'm there yet.
I just don't know. He had a 100% completion percentage.
He did.
Yesterday.
He was 0 for 1 on fourth down conversion, so there's that.
So, was he?
Yeah. It was a fourth and I think 36 that they had that he... Yeah. But it's okay. It was his first fourth down attempt, so we'll be all right.
Did he throw it?
No, he ran it.
He ran it?
Yeah.
I mean, how many yards did he get? It must have been pretty epic.
Six, yeah.
Okay, imagine 6 yards. That means every two rushes you get a first down. I'm just saying, Jimmy, if you're not on board, I think the people are. And it's time. 381-1313, talk about the game. I have nothing else to say about it. Walker Wood should finish the year as the starting quarterback.
What I will say is hopefully if things go correct, knock on wood, we should see Walker Wood again this week, right? Against Tennessee Martin, hopefully.
I really hope so.
I mean, if the game script goes the way it should for Kentucky, we should see more Sawyer Smith, and maybe we can get Walker Wood for a whole quarter. Maybe put Sawyer in for the third. If they can control the game at halftime, maybe let Lynn rest a little bit for the Louisville game, put Sawyer in, and then see Walker Wood for a whole quarter maybe?
I'm kind of down with that and even maybe stretch it further. I think that...
Just to see what you have in him.
Why not just let Sawyer start or Walker start the whole game and let Lynn play receiver? Because you'd be doing Lynn a favor by getting some junior game tape of him playing wide receiver for whenever he, in my opinion, inevitably declares for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Which there's a chance he might come back for his senior year just because of how thick this wide receiver class is. Like, this is a tremendously deep wide receiver class. It's gaining traction among scouts that this 2020 NFL draft wide receiving core is the best of all time.
Wow.
Some are saying that it rivals, I think someone put it out there, one of the older heads, I think said 1995 maybe. I think the year Keyshawn Johnson went number one overall might have been like just as, you know, thick, but
yeah.
I don't know. This is, that's, there's a lot of high praise. You've got the guys at the top, you've got guys in the middle, and Lynn Bowden is a name that I've seen online get kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
They'll mention 15 receivers that are in this class, and Lynn Bowden's name doesn't come up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which could be because has been playing quarterback for the majority of the season.
Right, and it shows that how uninformed some people can be.
Right. Well, you look at, if you're not a part of BBN in this area, I don't think the country has seen what Lynn Bowden's doing. I don't think they can actually grasp it. They eventually, maybe once it gets real time, maybe Todd McShay or Mel Kiper, they'll look at the box scores and they'll go back and look at the film and be like, wait, do you see what Lynn Bowden's doing? Like, mm-hmm. This is unprecedented for a quarterback, a runner, or a receiver to come in and play quarterback and be as dominant as he is running the ball. As a 5'11", what is he, 5'11", 195?
He's not 5'11". That dude's like 6'2 and a half.
Is he?
Oh, I've been, I'm about as close to legit doctor's office 6 foot as you can get, and yeah. He is at least two and a half inches taller than I am.
Okay.
This it's really funny that you say that, mm-hmm. because you are not the first person. There are people that have been in the locker room, mm-hmm. that I have talked to, yeah. outside of press conferences and player interviews that think Lynn Bowden is like, Randall Cobb was like 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah.
He was just a super duper athlete.
Yeah.
And Lynn Bowden's the same. He's just built like a tank, man. Yeah. Like, this guy is legit. I'm trying to think. Do you remember Cordero Patterson when he was, yeah. at Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
That's who he reminds
me of.
He's
still in the league somewhere.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Because he's an amazing athlete.
Right. He's a speedster, but he's a big guy. So Lynn's listed at 6'1", 200.
6'1", 200. Yeah, and I mean, if right. you see him in person, that's a football 6'1", because, yeah. 6'1 in real life and 6'1 out in the football field, they look a lot different. Have you ever noticed that most athletes are always bigger or taller than you think they are?
Yes.
It's really
like,
funny.
Like Steph Curry, you imagine him being a little guy. He's not a little person.
No, he's
not.
If
you see him on the street, he would be one of those guys you look up to and you go, oh, you must play basketball. Why? Because I'm 6'3"? People ask me that. I'm like, dude, I'm 6'3 and a half. That's not tall. Like, to sports people.
You're
like
telling me you didn't play basketball?
No. No. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
But Lynn, like, yeah, regardless, it's impressive what he's doing at quarterback. And I think it's helping his draft stock.
Yeah.
Definitely not hurting it.
I think it's funny because we lose sight about how big these guys are. I remember I saw the Baltimore Ravens in the tunnel on the way up to the press box in Cincinnati. The visiting locker room is on, mm-hmm. your way there. And if you go just a certain amount of time before kickoff,
yeah.
you get to see all the players come out in the field. And I remember seeing the Ravens come out, and you would be like shocked, like how much bigger Lamar Jackson is than you think he is. Yeah. And all these guys, except for like two players that were smaller than me,
mm-hmm.
like Alex Collins, the running back, and Willie Snead, the wide receiver, they were both like tiny humans, and they look completely out of place compared to everyone else who looked like they were from a Lord of the Rings movie.
which is big. If you're not a big Lord of the Rings fan.
Honestly, we covered, to me, the most important part of the game, which is Walker Wood. Shouts out to Yusuf Corker, first career interception for the Wildcats. To me, that guy is, I think he's a future top 100 draft pick.
Yeah, that was
in the future.
That was a great read that he had when he was kind of like playing center field safety. When you see a guy in college make that play, that's an NFL level play. Like, mm-hmm. you see that he has the ball skills to go and make that kind of play and protect half the field. That was a great play by Corker.
Yep, and it was funny because people were out on the offense after the first drive, and then all of a sudden they racked up 200 yards 18 yeah. minutes into the game.
That's why you don't trust Twitter.
Yep, 400 rushing yards. In general, I guess the only thing out of everything that you hate to see is that Louisville became bowl eligible before Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter when you become bowl eligible. It's what you do with the bowl.
Thank you, Jimmy. That made me feel.
Put that on a poster somewhere or something.
We'll put it on the what do they call it? The in the locker rooms.
Bulletin board.
I couldn't think of the word bulletin. I went, is it a chalkboard? No. Is it a whiteboard?
No,
I was like, no.
70s anymore.
And then I went back to the chalkboard. Man, have you ever seen buildings that were built in like the 70s, like old like 1970s office buildings where it looks a lot like this?
Yeah, only the building like that we're in. Yeah. Yeah. You mean just about, well, I mean, everything in downtown Lexington's about like that. So, I mean,
got him.
What are you going to do? So that's enough Kentucky football. We need to talk UK basketball. There's a big news.
Unless the people want to talk. Not everything's just on your schedule all the time. Okay. It's if the people want to talk about Kentucky football, they can.
Okay.
381-1313. But in the next segment.
Or if the people want to talk about UK basketball, there's big news in the recruiting field for Kentucky. Mm. There's a number getting thrown around as to what kind of class we're going to have for 2020.
I bet they're top two and it isn't number two.
Ooh, spoiler. I guess we'll reveal what it is next. It's Jimmy and Angelo, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300, 92.5. ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo. Make sure you're following us on ESPN Sports Radio. On Lexington. Sorry, there was something wrong with my headphones right there. I just could not even remember how to talk. I don't know what is happening. Follow us on Twitter at Jimmy and Angelo and on Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. You know, there's a game that they do where you put headphones on and it delays your speech by half a second and you have to try to read cards.
Really?
It's almost impossible to do. Jimmy Fallon does it on his show, too.
I would like to try
that
sometime.
That's exactly what happened. And, yeah, I was trying to be a professional, but I was like,
and it's still happening. Did you hear? It's quit now.
It's what you're doing, because I saw you smirking over there. I don't know what you were doing.
Doing a little bit of... I was manipulating your headphones, but your microphone, you know, popping like a bag of Pop Rocks in your mouth or a... Have you ever tried Pop Rocks and putting, like, Coca-Cola in your mouth at the same time?
Yes.
There was in San Diego a couple years back, they accidentally shot their entire fireworks presentation off at the same time.
Never a good idea.
No, it was amazing. I would rather go to a fireworks show where it's just everything at once. I mean this 100 times over going to a regular fireworks show. Fireworks shows are like 30 minutes just to see the same stuff over and over again. Give me something that I'll never forget for 35 seconds and I will leave.
I feel like that's such the new generation thing. Everyone wants it now. We want Vine. We want things in 6 seconds. So I don't want 30-minute fireworks show themed set up to music. Just give me the grand finale. Give it 45 seconds and I'll be out. That's cool.
Just like my love life.
It's going to be fun. Hey, fireworks in 2020. That's how it's going to happen. ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here. Kentucky basketball was a rough week last week.
Let's start with that.
Yeah. The first number one AP-ranked team to lose to an unranked opponent at home. 67-64 loss to Evansville. I'm sure by now it's been beaten into your brain that Kentucky lost, and maybe you're just waking up from under a rock, and you're like, wait, Kentucky lost to Evansville?
I don't think anybody in Lexington, Kentucky, or the surrounding counties don't know about that. I mean, the thing that's bothersome is that Evansville came into Rupp Arena to a number one ranked Kentucky team and beat them thoroughly.
Yeah, looking at the score, you probably would think the game looked different, but Evansville controlled the game, the entire game. Like, they had all of the momentum. They had everything on their side, and I don't know what it was. The players will never say it, but do you think they just overlooked Evansville? That has to be what it was, because there was no oomph on the Kentucky side. They weren't going for rebounds, especially towards the end of the game. It was like, what is happening?
Well, Coach Cal said that Ashton was hurt and he probably shouldn't have played him, which you're the coach. Like, it is your decision whether or not to play him. So, I mean.
Especially, as the coach, you have to, because the guys are always going to want to play almost to a fault. And, you know, we saw what happened with other guys in college football, Tua getting hurt. We'll get to that later. But, you know, it is one of those things as Coach Cal. It's a game against Evansville. You kind of have to look at the broad. And, of course, hindsight's 20/20. If Ashton goes out and has a monster game, even though he's hurt, makes a game winner to beat Evansville, no one's saying anything about him being hurt. So it's just based on the result, of course, you look back and try to find reasons as to why Kentucky played how they did, and that's one of but as you get to the end of the season, everyone's playing hurt.
And I think I feel like only two players really showed up to play, Emmanuel Quickly and Tyrese Maxey, seemed like they came to play. And Keon Brooks, it's funny because I don't know if he knows where he's at. Like when he plays, I think he just goes. He's like the Energizer buddy. I would say he showed up, but I feel like you could have put him anywhere and he would have just been active. The guy is, I mean, the guy's rawer than a Pittsburgh rare. You know, it's just,
yeah.
But when he has the ball within 2 feet of the basket, next to an Evansville, he was pretty dang good. It's just, this is one of those ones where last year it was the reality check against Duke in the first game that reset the entire season. And maybe this is just Cal's way of humbling the guys early so he can mold them in his view.
Because every team needs that.
Yeah, so he beat.
You got to get punched in the mouth.
They beat Michigan State, and he was, that was his way of saying, see, you can be the best. And then he makes them lose against Evansville so he can be like, you have to listen to me and guide under my hand or else. I mean,
it seems silly to say that, but I don't think you're far. I'm not saying, I don't think Cal made them lose, but.
Maybe not, but maybe.
I'm just saying hashtag look into it.
I'm saying hashtag the Don Corleone of Kentucky. I mean, he needs.
But it is true. When you have a team full of young guys, a lot of young guys, that come off a huge win. They beat Michigan State in Madison Square Garden. They're on top of the world. We're number one. You can't touch us. And then you get punched in the mouth. So it does. It humbles you and it resets you. And you're like, oh, all right.
Speaking of Madison Square Garden, do you think the Cats, even after losing to Evansville, could beat the Knicks?
Is this a thing that every year?
Insert great best college team, insert worst, professional team.
Remember when they were doing that a couple years ago with Alabama? Could they beat
Alabama and Cleveland?
Yes.
Yeah. And then they did it with Kentucky's undefeated year with, I think, the Philadelphia 76ers, Sixers.
Yeah, the year as they were tanking.
Yeah. So that was, and, you know, I think after that Kentucky team went 38-1, Cal vowed, never again will I go undefeated through a season just to lose in the Final Four. I think that he decided he's going to take one early season loss just to get it off of his plate and off of the players' plate. But I guess we'll see in the future. Kentucky plays tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Who do you got there?
Who do I have in the game? Well, I'm going to take Kentucky. Really? I know this
you don't think they're going to have a cosmic slide against Utah Valley tomorrow?
No. I think it's going to be okay.
Okay.
I think. What about you? I mean, are you really going to come on here and do that hot take? Is that what you're doing?
I don't know.
Someone's going to do it on the airwaves somewhere.
I'm just saying hypothetically, if Kentucky loses to Utah Valley, do they drop out of the top 25 would they be the first team ever to be ranked number one to then drop out of the top 25?
If they did lose, yes, they deserve to.
That would be
lose.
Back. I mean, that would be incredible.
Yes, that would be the most unprecedented of unprecedentary that's ever happened.
I mean, of course, and that's why it won't happen. But right. if Kentucky falls to Utah Valley at home,
I mean, yeah, if we want to go into La La Land, sure, let's keep going. Let's get weird. Let's
so you're not going to put any money on the Utah Valley line.
No. Well, no? I mean, maybe for them to cover a spread, because when the spreads are that big, you know, it's like a 35 point spread.
I don't know. I think it's only a point and a half. Just kidding.
So
I'm pretty sure everybody just went to their phones to make sure the betting lines. Is there any good news for Kentucky?
Kentucky recruiting for the 2020 class.
There Tell me
is
more.
Some good news. So Kentucky, as of right now, they are number one ranked for the class of 2020, and they just got another five-star, Isaiah Jackson, 6'9", 200 pounds, and he's going to be a Wildcat.
I couldn't be more excited.
I can't tell if you're being facetious.
I don't mean to be. It's not even being facetious. I just, give us a call at 381-1313 if you want to talk about the Kentucky's recruiting class and Isaiah Jackson. What do you think this means for the future? I think recruiting in basketball is a huge deal because it sets up what our teams are going to be. I just don't know anything about Isaiah Jackson. I know that he's, your eyes got really wide. Like, you don't know Isaiah Jackson. Tell me about Isaiah Jackson then.
Oh, no, I'm not saying. I'm widening my eyes because it's become a big thing that recruiting has lately. I think social media has a lot to do with it because people love to share the highlight tapes of everyone. And anytime someone gets put on a poster on dunk, they turn into, oh, this five-star kid, look at the one play he made. And a lot of these kids, the competition they're playing against is just, it's like child's play out there. So
I do.
It's hard to look at the high school highlight films to really know.
I mean, I do like to keep up with recruiting player-wise, ranking-wise, all that. We wanted to get Cade Cunningham.
Right.
Okay, he decided to go to Oklahoma State. All right, he's a 6'7" point guard, very bouncy, really spectacular. Jalen Green is a shooting guard from Napa, California, who I think everybody's starting to come into the mind state that he might be like the next guy. And Rivals used to have him number one overall, and they dropped him all the way down to number three. He visited Kentucky October 18th. So he used one of his official visits. He used one of his official visits on Kentucky.
Right.
This guy, if he comes to Rupp, I think he has the potential to be the biggest superstar since Anthony Davis.
Really?
And I would say John Wall, but Anthony Davis, while he was here, was a pretty big deal.
Some would say.
No, I think this kid is the next like guy.
Yeah.
Like real guy. So it starts at number four, which number three, Jalen Green, uncommitted. Number four, Terrence Clark, in the nation, according to Rivals.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've got the number four overall player
in Terrence Clark.
In Terrence Clark. We have the number 17 overall player in BJ Boston.
Yep.
We have the number 24 overall player now in 6'9", 200-pound forward Isaiah Jackson from Waterford Township, Michigan. We have the number 33 player in Lance Ware, power forward, 6'9", 205. We've got Cameron Fletcher, which me and Jimmy were talking about. That's right about that range where Cameron the rapper was really coming up, who has one of my favorite songs in Killa Cam. And then Devin Askew is around the 10th overall player recruiting rankings-wise as he's reclassifying.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, Jimmy, this class reminds me more of last year's team.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough, everybody wants this to be the next great, like, 2010 class where you have... And if Jalen Green commits, then we can start talking.
Yeah.
Then we can start talking. But this isn't Wall, Cousins, Bledsoe, Daniel Orton, those guys. This is a class more full of, like last year, you can say that that Clark is kind of like your E.J. Montgomery because he was the highest committed guy out of the group.
Right.
And then you had Tyler Hero. You had, I'm already blanking on last year's team. I have mentally and emotionally moved on. You had Ashton Hagans commit, kind of like Devin Askew, where he reclassifies up to that next point. You have Emmanuel Quickly. You've got players of those calibers. That's what it seems more like to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you bring in all of those guys, it seems like one of those classes.
Right. ESPN Sports Radio, 1300, 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here. Our number is 381-1313 if you want to talk Kentucky's recruiting class. If, you know, when you look at this, so I'm looking, Duke has the same number of commits. So Kentucky has four five-star commits where Duke only has two. So by far and away, Kentucky has the most five-star.
Duke's washed.
North Carolina has three. Tennessee is up there.
Duke's washed. Carolina's washed. Tennessee doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
This is Kentucky. I don't know why you're even mentioning other teams. Nobody cares about everybody else.
So with Jalen Green, right now Kentucky has the number one class. Do you think wherever Jalen Green goes will then leapfrog? Like, let's say it is a Duke or a North Carolina. Will they then, does that make that class better to then leapfrog Kentucky?
I mean, maybe not rankings-wise, but I think he's kind of the best player in college, in high school basketball from the highlights that I've seen. That doesn't mean that I've been on the road scouting these guys. I haven't. I've just seen what he can do. Cade Cunningham, special. Evan Mobley's going to USC, so he'll be forgotten about in very quick time unless it's kind of like a James Wiseman at Memphis type of situation. I think if he goes to Duke, it could be kind of a power class. UNC, I'm looking at a list, has three guys that are ranked between 13 and 21. So they've obviously got some horses in the back. But Kentucky's just, it's just thorough up and down stacked. I can't see it.
Right. And I believe it was B.J. Boston, whenever he committed to Kentucky, him and Jalen Green, I think, have played together at some point in an AAU team, and he was trying to get, and I remember I was doing, like, I felt like a high school girl looking at Instagram stories, and I believe it was B.J. Boston. He posted something in a story and tagged Jalen Green about after he signed OMG. With Kentucky, and everyone was like, wait, can he get Jalen Green? So there is a chance if, you know, there are ties, and that's the thing with high school basketball, with football and, you know, basketball now. Kids, they talk to each other, and that means more than I think some people want to give it credit to, that they want to go play with their friends. They want to go play with their guys. They want to get that hashtag squad together and make things happen. So that's maybe Kentucky does have the upper hand.
I think they do. I think they do. I just playing time would be the only thing, but these guards are going to empty out pretty heavily after this year. You're going to lose quickly Maxey and Hagan. Yeah. So we need to replace them. Yep. And boy, would I like to see Jalen Green be the one to replace them.
That would be pretty nice, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. How about some college football talk?
Yes.
There was a catastrophic injury yesterday in one of the greatest comebacks of all time. And we will get into that.
And of course, we'll get into Jimmy Radio's Heisman Trophy update.
Hey, the Heisman talk, it's heating up. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. College football yesterday. There was, if you stayed up late, there was an awesome finish. One of the best finishes of the season. And what game was that?
That was the...
That was your boy.
That was my boy Jalen. First, I just want to say something. Tua!
You feel better?
Yeah. I miss him already.
You do miss him?
I miss Tua already. Oh. Can we start with Tua and we'll get to the the Atlanta the Baylor Bears here in a second.
Yeah,
but
so I guess I shouldn't have buried the lead because the story of
I get it, Barry.
I shouldn't have burrowed the lead there. Tua had a terrible injury yesterday. It makes me cringe when I think about it. He dislocated and fractured his hip yesterday, right before halftime. And they're saying he's out for the year. Not saying he is out for the year. And there's people that are questioning, you know, what does this mean for his future? Hip injuries are not good. See Bo Jackson.
It's in his life.
See Bo Jackson. You know what I mean? That was one of those injuries. When it happened, it didn't seem like it was anything that crazy. You know, he just fell wrong on his hip. But for Tua and Alabama, I guess there's two different parts of this. One, does this mean that Alabama is done even having a chance for the playoff? It was already going to take a little bit for them to get in. It was going to take some people losing them, having to win out. What does this mean for Alabama, and what do you think this means for the draft and for Tua?
Well, I want to say that I'll get to this point, those points in just a second. This is a statement from Tua's doctor, orthopedic surgeon. It's from the Alabama team orthopedic surgeon. Tua sustained a right hip dislocation that was immediately reduced at the stadium. He is undergoing further testing to determine the best coverage of treatment. He is expected to make a full recovery, but will miss the remainder of the season. And a lot of people, you know, felt like that's a best case scenario, at least on Twitter. From what I saw, everybody was kind of championing that as a wonderful thing. So it is wonderful to see that Tua is going to become a healthy human being.
Yes.
Okay, now let's get to your questions. Mm-hmm. The first thing, does this knock Alabama out of the race? No, but it makes it much, much harder.
Right.
Because part of the college football playoff draw is saying, well, you have the best quarterback in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not even me being opinionated. That is just that if Tua is going to shatter many college football records, I saw the records for some of them that he's going to break, and they're just insane. Like quarterback rating, he's going to break the record tremendously. For, you know, at one point during this college football season, he had 81 touchdowns in his career to 9 interceptions. That's a 9-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio.
That's a lot.
That Tua had. The guy was just simply phenomenal. But for Alabama to get in the playoff with the loss to LSU, the thing that makes that tough is that they lost to LSU with Tua at quarterback.
Right.
So if you think Tua is better than Mac Jones, then why would you put Alabama in the college football playoff knowing that the guy that's starting now, who was a former Kentucky commitment, by the way, the current Alabama quarterback,
yeah,
it's just why put him out there and why put Alabama in there? And it's making me think that I think they're out. I think Alabama, no matter what they do, they can beat Auburn, but that shimmer has come off Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost to LSU, they've lost to Florida, they've lost to Georgia, and after losing, and they've lost another game. Give us a call 381-1313 to remind me. It's just they've lost too many games. Right. They're great. They're a fine team. They're sure. A top 25 team, but it's not like beating Auburn's going to jettison you into the top picture.
No. Not like it used to there for a while when they had that.
Well, it could have been if they would have pulled off one or two of these wins. If they had beaten Florida or LSU, then mm-hmm. it would be a big deal. So Alabama, I think even if they went out, I think it's time to close the chapter on Alabama being a college football playoff team.
Yeah.
This year, I think it's now down to a couple of other teams that we'll get to in a second. You said about Tua's NFL draft stock.
Yeah. Do you think he comes back, or does he just go with it?
That is the most interesting question, I think, this NFL draft season.
Yeah.
Because you don't really want to come back to college Mm-mm. and get hurt again, because then you're down the river.
Right. As someone who's already proven what they can do, it's not like he played 2 or 3 games and there's a question like, who is he really? Like you said, he has a 9-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio.
Yes.
He's proven that. There's nothing left for him to prove.
There's nothing left for him to prove. And another injury submarines his stock.
He's had 2 ankle surgeries. He's had a fractured hand. And now he's got this. And that's a lot for a kid that's 19, 20 years old.
He's had 2 ankle surgeries. Sorry, I just had to. I apologize. I will move on.
Put that one on the board.
The hip injury you can say is a fluke. The ankle injury you can say is concerning.
Mm-hmm.
If the full recovery can happen, which I don't know about this hip dislocation. I don't know how severe it was. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long until he's back on the field. You have to get, to me, you have to be kind of fully healthy. I wonder if the best decision for him, now hear me out, is if he didn't declare for the draft this year,
right,
came back, not to Alabama, but just kind of sat out the year to get fully healthy and then get in the 2021 draft where he can do the pre-draft process. He's fully healthy. Look, I'm moving, I'm throwing. And then he can compete with Trevor Lawrence for the top pick of 2021.
That is interesting, and I think that's been kind of a conversation that people have brought up about guys, if their season is done, if they don't want to play, but they still want to be ready for the draft, like what if he did do that and he continues to work out for the entire year, he stays crisp, he stays on his game, and then he goes into the draft. That could be something that a lot of kids do, because there's a lot of kids that they see this, and it's like, if I get hurt, yes, I want to go out and play for your college football team, but I'm losing millions and millions of dollars potentially for this. If, and there's not many people whose draft stock are potentially number one pick and could not play for a whole year and still probably go number one.
He has now the most interesting NFL draft case, and I will say this, that I have ever seen.
I mean, really?
And I like to say that I've watched a lot of NFL draft. I've covered, or not covered, but I've done a deep dive on a lot of players, and he now has the most interesting case, because if you don't recover fully, a team can't pick you in Mm-mm. the top 5 not knowing if you're going to be able to stay on the field. So to me, it's that you pretty much, if you wait till that next year, he could still be the number 1 or 2 pick in the 2021 draft if he comes back and he says, look, I'm fully healthy. I needed the year to get that way, but now that fluke injury is behind me. My mm-hmm. ankle's fully healed. You're getting 100% of one of the greatest college football quarterbacks to ever live going into the 2021 NFL draft. So we'll see.
Man.
But he's out of the Heisman talk, for sure.
You think so? So that leaves Joe Burrow, who yesterday threw for a measly 489 yards and 5 touchdowns.
And 2 interceptions.
And two interceptions. I'm off my Trevor Lawrence thing. I'm not even.
Oh, you are? What about T. Higgins? You still on the T. Higgins over Jerry Jeudy train too?
Stop it. Leave me alone, okay? I've dealt with this with myself.
I said De'Eriq King was going to be the sixth best player in college football. He played four games and redshirted because they're tanking for the next season with Dana Holgorsen at Houston. So look,
it's all right. We all take shots.
But number five on my list was the only man still in the Heisman Trophy talk contention with Joe Burrow, and that's comeback king Jalen Hurts.
When I was watching this game in the first half, so they played Baylor yesterday. Baylor was undefeated, ranked number 13 through the first half, really through the first three quarters. Everyone was like, does Baylor make this jump? If a couple more teams, could Baylor get into the playoff? And I think Baylor may have started thinking about that too, because they were up by 25 at one point. Jalen Hurts and Oklahoma.
You're missing the punchline. They were up 28-3.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
I didn't even realize that. Yep. That was the score of the Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And isn't they funny how blew the
matrix,
it.
The matrix that we live in, how that works.
And to me, the next Tom Brady in Jalen Hurts.
Is he the next Tom Brady?
I guess,
very unathletic. Doesn't look great just walking around. That was Tom Brady. How dare you compare the two of them?
Jalen Hurts is the best winner, I think, in college. I have never used winner. Whenever I talk about quarterbacks, people are like, he's a winner. I don't believe in that, except for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback I've ever been like, this guy is just a winner. I think his football composure, IQ is out of this world. I have a football crush on Jalen Hurts.
Hey,
I just
all right. do. We all have football crushes.
And so he's my number two, and he's still in the conversation with Burrow. Mm-hmm. I'm not counting Hurts out, even though I think it would take a monumental upset for Burrow not to win it, as in if he gets monumentally upset and Hurts continues this streak, especially after that comeback. He was calm, cool, composed.
That was one of those games. You know how RG3, when he had his Heisman run, when he had a couple good games towards the end of the year, where it was like, oh, dang, I don't think anyone else stands a chance. Like, he is going to win this. That's what it seemed like with Jalen.
With Joe Burrow?
No, I think this comeback game that Jalen had, the way that he came back from adversity, and he throws 300 yards, four touchdowns, and an interception with over 100 rushing yards.
Did you say that Jalen—do you think Jalen Hurts is the favorite?
After a game like that, I don't know. It's hard. They're 1-2, but I just mean...
I did not expect this from you, Jimmy Radio.
And I still like Joe Burrow. I just mean the way that it looks from the public's point of view, where Joe Burrow, he's been having great games, but it's like it's not close. It's not a close game. You have Jalen Hurts. He's going to win over everyone by being the comeback kid.
I don't think that this Heisman race is particularly close right now, and you could be looking at like the biggest disparity since Cam won. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anybody recently just kind of far in a way. Can you remember the last Heisman Trophy winner that was just like, it's this guy?
I think it's Cam.
It's Cam, maybe Baker.
I don't think so. Not at least not as much as Cam was. It was a runaway from like week three. Once the college football world figured out who he was.
Yeah. It's kind of, and really it's the same with Burrow. About halfway through the year, he went from nothing to first, and now it's first. A little bit of space, Jalen Hurts. I can't think of a third.
No, I can't think of a third.
I cannot think of a third.
But I think Jalen, where Joe Burrow is kind of plateauing with where he's at, I think Jalen is really coming up strong behind him. So it's going to be a fascinating end of the season. And shouts out to my guy Trevor Lawrence. He ain't in it no more. Coming up on Jimmy and Angelo at 10 o'clock, we have got the NFL Power Hour. But before that, we have got our Kentucky Proud. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here with you like we are every Sunday from 9 to 11. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo, and it is time to show a little love to our home state of Kentucky with some Kentucky Proud stories. Angelo, you want to kick this off?
Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
So for the Kentucky Proud stories today, we've got a couple. I want to say congratulations to Craig Yeast, who got his first win at Kentucky Wesleyan. That's a big deal for Craig. That's a big deal for his program. They've got a couple of local kids on that team. Mm-hmm. One of them being Kendrick Curry, committed to Craig East. He was a do everything player over at Bryan Station. Yeah. So Craig East at Kentucky Wesleyan. It's really fun to see. By the way, Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Keelan Cole went to Kentucky Wesleyan.
Oh yeah.
So it's Craig East has a very promising career ahead of him, and now he has his first win as a collegiate coach.
Love it. This one, the Paul Hornung Award is given out every year to one of the most versatile, high-level performers in college football. And two of the finalists for that are Lynn Bowden. Heard of him? Plays for UK. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. The other finalist is Wandale Robinson. He actually went to high school in Frankfort. Mm-hmm. He's a wide receiver for Nebraska. And Paul Hornung is a Louisville native. So all of this kind of comes together for a perfect Kentucky Brown. So shout out to Lynn Bowden and Wandale Robinson.
Congratulations to Coach Steve Pardue. Steve Pardue, Coach Pardue, was inducted into the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame. He is a Hopkinsville native. He was Crittenden County's high school coach from 1987 to 1990, and he was Kentucky assistant coach under Joker Phillips. So really, hopefully, he makes it into one of our Hall of Fames here, as we're very proud of Coach Pardue and his accomplishments. The reason why he got inducted into the Georgia Hall of Fame is, Jimmy, since you're new, you might not get this as much, but it was a big deal in the Rich Brooks era that we, as Kentucky football, was able to recruit LaGrange High School in Georgia because they were a powerhouse, and they produced a lot of the players that helped make Kentucky's teams under Rich Brooks. And the reason why is because Coach Pardue was the head coach of the LaGrange program. So it all comes together under that umbrella.
Circle.
So a lot of those that are unfamiliar now starting to ring a bell on Coach Pardue.
Nice.
Congratulations to him.
Nice.
And the last one for this week's installment of Hashtag Kentucky Proud, which you can follow me at Angelo Media Lex, and you can search the hashtag Kentucky Proud anytime to keep up with all of my findings about the local athletes and stars around the bluegrass in the state of Kentucky, including one from our very own city in DJ Van Horn. The Henry Clay quarterback has committed to the University of Louisville for his academic and athletic career. I would say that he was likely, I didn't see necessarily that he had an offer there, but he was probably going to be a preferred walk-on.
Yeah.
Probably play. He was a fantastic dual threat quarterback at Henry Clay. He's been the starter since his sophomore year, and he will possibly play a slot receiver, some type of maybe slot corner, something at Louisville, but he wanted to continue his career there.
Yeah.
And I think after such a rough season, because he broke his thumb during the season, he didn't really get to have, nor did Henry Clay have, the season they were hoping for. So shout out to DJ Van Horn that this you know, unfortunate season at Henry Clay was not his last stop, that he has another step, and that's to the University of Louisville.
Love it. Shouts out to you, DJ. All right, coming up on Jimmy and Angelo, you know what 10 o'clock means on Sunday. It is the NFL Power Hour.
Power Hour.
It's time to talk about throwing helmets and hitting other quarterbacks in the head with them. Colin Kaepernick had a workout, and we're going to make our NFL picks. Coming up, Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5.
Don't trust me in fantasy.
Don't.
This is Jimmy and Angelo. Give us a call at 381-1313 or tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex. Now here's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Yeah.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. Our phone number is 381-1313. It's time for the NFL Power Hour.
NFL Power Hour, baby. That's why we bring them out, is because this is NFL every Sunday during football season. You've got 10 to 11. We talk about the N to the F to the L. And we've got two really big stories that happened, and I've got some stuff to get off my chest.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you take
it. So we will get to our picks in the next segment for our picks, which, Jimmy, how are they going?
Well, you're up by four. So you got me beat by four.
In fairness, last week was terrible for both of us, but I think we had our first sub 500 week.
We did.
And that was courtesy of Jimmy Radio.
Yeah.
You didn't want to admit, you looked at me, and the people can't see the daggers that you just looked through my eyes with.
Look, I did the Men in Black thing where I forget all that. Yeah.
So we need to talk about the, and I want to know the people's opinion too, because
I don't
feel like arguing on a Sunday morning, but I will.
Hey.
If this is the Myles Garrett helmet to Mason Rudolph skull situation that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
So when I saw it, I had a friend text me, okay? A friend that later decried all of this as a horrible, like, happens to a national tragedy.
Oh, boy.
A crisis.
Oh, yeah. That happened.
But crisis. He first texted me, fight. So I was like,
with no context?
No, just fight. And I was like, oh, I guess I have to go see the Steelers-Browns game.
Yeah.
So I picked it up, and I saw what happened, and I was like, whoa. I was like, man, that was wild.
It didn't seem real. When you're watching it, you're like, wait, is this the XFL? Did the XFL come on early? What is happening right now?
So it happened, and I was kind of like, man, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And, of course, they let Mason Rudolph, the player that was attacked, come into the game. And to set the scene up for those that haven't seen it, which, again, living under the rock moment, if you were,
welcome to Earth.
Welcome back to society. Mason Rudolph was tackled to the ground after he let the ball go on a screen.
Yes.
By Myles Garrett. Okay. It was a late hit, you could say. It wasn't necessarily,
it wasn't bad.
It wasn't good. Yeah. It wasn't something that I was like, but it wasn't elite. Well, it might have been quote unquote illegal, but it was nothing dirty. He wrapped him up. It was a rough play.
He kind of alligator rolled him to the ground where he wrapped him up, spun him around.
Right. And by the way, if you have a problem with that, maybe don't drop back and pass.
With 10 seconds left in the game, they're down by 21 points, I think.
You're down 14 points, and you're at your own 10-yard line. You've already been sacked twice. Maybe it's just time to call it a night.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the first person maybe to blame is Mike Tomlin.
Could be.
So let's go there. Oh, no, but football is a game you play till the end. Okay, let's hate Myles Garrett. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. All right, so Mason Rudolph gets tackled to the ground really, really hard by Myles Garrett. Well, poor guy. You're an NFL quarterback.
Well, and he was extra frustrated because the previous two plays in a row, he got sacked also. So this, again, is the third time.
He's very frustrated. Mason Rudolph.
He's been taken to the ground with 10 seconds left. He's real frustrated at his offensive line and at himself because they can't move the ball. And then,
so Garrett tackles him, and this is the sequence of events. Mason Rudolph tried to rip Myles Garrett's helmet off.
Mm-hmm.
He did that first.
Yes.
And every part of the footage shows that. Myles Garrett's helmet was over 50% off his head when he re-secured it. Now, some people will say that Mason Rudolph tried to kick Myles Garrett in the genitals.
I did not see that.
I saw it, but I don't think it was on purpose.
No.
It was kind of like sometimes you'll see Draymond Green get in trouble for something, and it's like, Draymond gets in trouble all of the time. Oh, no, you know what it reminds me of? Logan Stenberg yesterday. Late in the first quarter, there was an unsportsmanlike conduct on Stenberg when he literally just made a block during a play. It was towards the end of a play, but the defender was a yard away from the tackle that was being made, and Stenberg just blocked him on his front side,
right,
which is a legal block, and they called Stenberg. It's like, look, I'll be the first to admit Logan Stenberg is a penalty problem. Yeah. Let's say that.
That's a nice way to put it.
He doesn't shy away from penalties, but it wasn't his fault that time. That's the same thing with Mason Rudolph. I didn't even put it in everything that I talked about on Twitter, which you can check out all of my thoughts expounded as at Angelo Media Lex, and I'll get into some of them because it got a very small traction, but people were very divided on this and decided to say a lot of mean things to me on the internet, which it hurt my feelings so bad.
Did it?
No.
Are you able to recover?
People could say on the internet, I got criticized for me being biased towards Lexington schools on a Lexington High School football broadcast this weekend. I got criticized for my opinions about football players being aggressive. I'm fine with it.
Look, as long as you were able to find your safe space and move on, then you're fine.
Right.
But, once he was trying to, he failed ripping his helmet off.
So Mason Rudolph tried to rip Myles Garrett's helmet off. Okay. Well, guess what? Myles Garrett took off Mason Rudolph's helmet. That's when the flags came in. That's a penalty. All right. Myles Garrett has won. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you've got two Pittsburgh Steelers linemen blocking Myles Garrett away from Mason Rudolph better than they had the previous three plays. I'll tell you that much. They finally were able to block Myles Garrett.
Yes. All trying to separate the two.
Congratulations, Pittsburgh Steelers, and your wonderful season you're having.
Well done. You were
able to finally block Myles Garrett. All right. So the two linemen have Garrett going away from Mason Rudolph, and Garrett, while looking for Mason Rudolph, is not pursuing him.
No.
But guess who gets up and tries to be Billy Badass?
Yeah.
Like, guess who gets up and tries to do that? It's Mason Rudolph. And he comes in charging like little itty-bitty Mason Rudolph could take on Myles Garrett, who's largely considered to be one of the biggest athletic freaks of all time.
Yeah.
He charges him without his helmet, and then Garrett swings the helmet and makes contact
with
Rudolph's
head. Almost like he was trying to swat a fly away from him. He was just like, get away! That looks like what he was trying to do.
It looked like he was trying to bring the hammer down, which I thought was pretty, we'll get to it here in a second, okay? So, Rudolph instigates all this. Garrett hits him with the helmet.
Yeah.
Rudolph's reaction is to look for a referee and put his hands up.
Yeah.
I want people to realize that the journalists online or the Sports Center anchors that are telling you through your TV that this was some abomination is bull crap. That's what it is. That right there shows you that the player being hit in the head was able afterwards to look for a referee and put his hands up. They were trying. Oh, and by the way, Mason Rudolph after the game said what Garrett did was Bush League. Mason Rudolph tried to say that. Mason Rudolph's kind of a punk if you've ever looked into him, my opinion.
The way that this whole thing worked out, he looked like the kid whose dad is a lawyer, and then he got shoved to the ground.
Yes, he looks like a lawyer's son,
and
yes.
And he got up and was like, oh, my dad's going to get you. How dare you? And it's just like you said, he instigated it, and then followed Myles Garrett to go and get him after he took his helmet.
He's the boy who cried wolf.
I don't understand it. But one thing I will say, Marquise Pouncey, he's about it. I want him on my team. Really, none of his punches really connected that he threw at Myles Garrett because he has a helmet on, but he threw some kicks on the ground. Marquise Pouncey will have your back, and that's what you want in a lineman.
Yeah, it's the effort, my man.
Yeah.
It's the effort. So after all that happened, when he made contact, Garrett was then taken to the ground. Pouncey did his thing.
And I don't think anything happened to him.
And then Larry Ogunjobi, that's the best I've got.
Yeah.
You know, hit Rudolph to the ground.
That was the best part
video.
Of all of this. As Myles Rudolph is standing there without his
Myles Rudolph. Mason Rudolph was being stood over by Larry.
Yeah. It was great.
He said a five-letter word that everybody kind of made fun of him for. About 24 hours after everything happened and everybody decried it as such a horrible event, Mason Rudolph ended up getting made fun of a lot. But here's my entire point. Don't let the Sports Center anchor tell you that this is some horrible catastrophe of sportsmanship in the league. Don't let journalists online say that he should be banned. Don't let people try to tell you that he tried to commit assault with a deadly weapon, which is what I saw, a helmet. Yeah. Which ironically is to protect your head. So if anything, it was assault with a safe weapon, not a deadly weapon.
Hey,
but to say these things and that Mason Rudolph should commit to try to pursue legal action against Myles Garrett. I have talked to former coaches. I actually had talked to a former coach. I've listened to players. There were multiple defensive football players that came out afterwards and was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, who? Like, this is not a big deal. There have been multiple videos that come out. Rob Gronkowski almost ended a guy's career with a late hit play.
Yes, with the Bills.
Antonio Smith ripped off Richie Incognito's helmet and made contact with his head in the middle of a game. And Incognito did the same thing Rudolph did, just like put his hands out. Like, you got
about Albert Haynesworth when he stomped on a guy's forehead with cleats.
Yes, Jimmy.
Hello? He didn't get legal action pursued on him. It's the thing of being caught up in the moment. This is always the worst thing that's ever happened.
But why are you caught up in this moment? Like, this was such a horrible deal. People are acting like Myles Garrett's a monster, and they need to quit because he's not. Here's the thing. Do we love violence, Jimmy, until it gets too violent?
Of course.
That's what I want to ask you, because when Andre Johnson ripped Courtland Finnegan's helmet off in the middle of 70,000 people on a football field and just two-pieced him up like was getting a takeout from KFC.
And a biscuit.
He was getting everything. Jalen Ramsey got put in a chokehold by A.J. Green, and we were all like, thank you, A.J. Mm-hmm. Thank you for shutting him up. The thing that I have the biggest problem with is that people expect the rationale for a football player that is in the middle of battle.
War.
To be the same as someone that is sitting from the comfort of their couch
with Cheeto
in
dust
their
on their hands,
yes,
as they tweet out vigorously.
So you are in the mind state in which you can say, I don't want to see this man get hit with the helmet. I don't want to see this violence. I don't want to see these two players that I like because I love the NFL, something really bad might happen to them. And they are lucky. They are lucky that nothing happened, both Rudolph and Garrett, because they both would have regretted it. And the problem is, though, is that you are not from that mind state. Former NFL players and coaches see that, and they're like, you know, there are some NFL players and coaches that came out and said that was egregious and should never happen in the game. A lot of those guys, you know, they're also in media, just like some of the defensive players that came out. But in the end, these guys are essentially caged fighters. Like, at least, like well, the way that cage fighters mentally prepare for games and the way that these football players prepare for games, to me, are equivalent. You have to come out with the mindset that you're going to hurt someone or be hurt in football. And after a tough game at the end, when that happens and Myles Garrett does that, look, I don't, you know, I'll go a step further. I don't think he should have gotten a season-long suspension.
Really?
I know some people do. I think that he should have gotten four games, fine. But a season-long, an indefinite suspension is an overcorrection by the NFL. I think that he will be back as soon as kick play starts next year. But I think that the people that had these opinions and these takes about what had happened, I think everybody needs to slow down and come towards the middle. And that's what I've received the most criticism from, is that people are on the extreme.
That's the thing.
And they want you to be on the extreme. So when you are in the middle, you are viewed to be on the far left.
Yes.
When they are on the far right, or vice versa. Yeah. Not trying to get political. I'm just saying that when you are on a spectrum and you are so far on one side, the middle can look like the opposite side, and it's not. What Myles Garrett did isn't okay. I think he should have been suspended for 3 to 4 games. But to say that he should be kicked out of the league, that he should be arrested for things to happen, that's not reality, and you are not living in reality.
No.
Well, and what that is.
And to bring this full circle, this also goes with other political stories, other stories. If you're in the media, you have to make it the most extreme. There's no media platform that just stays in the middle that says, well, no, he shouldn't have done it, but it's not that bad. You have to get your clicks. You have to get your views. You got to go viral. And to go viral, you have to take it to the extreme max of he needs to go to prison and Mason Rudolph needs to pursue legal action. But that's the vocal minority. The majority of people, I think, are exactly what you said. No, he shouldn't have done it. It was terrible what he did. But is it the worst thing ever? No. Does he deserve to never play again? No. Was it kind of funny? When you break it down, a little bit. And then Mason Rudolph got shoved to the ground after that, after kind of being a punk, a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's the vocal minority that get all the coverage with every single story you see that goes viral on Twitter, on all the news stations, whichever one you want to go to. This is just a great microcosm of what it's like now.
I think you said it perfectly.
To live in this world.
I think it's okay. And it's just funny because I feel comfortable saying it now when I could not have said it the Thursday night or the Friday morning of the incident. I think it was kind of funny.
I do. And so does everyone else that I've talked to.
The memes are everywhere. Everything's out there. Yes.
Do you remember when Miami and Florida International fought and a kid came off the sideline with a helmet in his hand and was beating people? No one has brought that up. And they're like, we've never seen this before.
I'm I just BS. Laughed about it because it was funny.
Like, yes, you did. This kid was running around beating people with his helmet. That's where Myles Garrett got this from.
It's people want to be so serious and take these things so serious. And yes, if Mason Rudolph would have gotten seriously hurt.
Sure, but he didn't.
But he didn't.
Exactly.
Because he got hit in the head with a helmet.
He's
like,
fine.
People thought that Myles Garrett, like, bludgeoned him or used like an unsanctioned weapon or anything. Guys, I have played football. Jimmy has played. Listen to two people that have played football. And for kids out there, here's my message to the kids. Don't do it.
And all
don't
the kids,
hit people with helmets. But it's not as if Myles Garrett is demonized or you shouldn't play the game because dangerous things can happen. Because, you know, they can. It's your choice. Kids, don't hit people with helmets.
Yes.
But it's not like it's not understandable. People said it was inexcusable. No, it is excusable. It's just not okay.
Exactly.
There's a difference. That's why if it was inexcusable, he'd be suspended. If he would have hit Mason Rudolph 4, 5, 6 times
held
in the head,
down.
Then we get to that point where I agree with you. But one swing with a little look, we had a national story over a guy that got bonked in the head with a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
That's how serious you all are tanking this.
But that's, like I said, that just bringing it full circle, is that's the way that the media is with everything. It has to be outrage. Every day there has to be something to be outraged over. And, oh, what about the kids? So if you see someone hit a pedestrian with a car, do you have to explain to your kids, well, if you get a car, you're not supposed to do that because it's bad?
Yeah.
No, everyone knows. Stop it. People just don't use their brain, and that's what makes me so angry.
I like how it's funny. It's just because my mind state went to kids hit each other all the time. Like, because they do. Everyone
knows. Myles Garrett knows he's not supposed to do that. Will he do it again? Oh, no.
Jimmy, okay, so we're so worried about Mason Rudolph's safety. Why is he still, if you're so worried about Mason Rudolph's safety, he got knocked out. He got knocked unconscious before he hit the ground 4 weeks ago.
Yes, he did.
So you're worried about Mason Rudolph's safety now because you're outraged by an action of someone when he got knocked out before he hit the ground? I would argue if you're worried about his safety, he shouldn't have been on the field.
No.
He should have retired from the league. You know what? Shut football down because we're so worried about Mason Rudolph's safety and everybody's safety because he got hit in the head with the helmet. Guess what? These guys get hit in the head with the helmet a lot, and it's ended some people's careers and some lives with these hits. So if you're so worried about violence and the safety of people, you know, I don't believe you. You know what? How about this? You people that were upset but are okay with some pitcher throwing a 99-mile-an-hour heater to someone's skull, you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Because you know what? That's just policing the game. That's policing the game. No, if you're okay with what Myles Garrett did, then fine. You can be okay with that. Or if you're okay with hockey fights but you're not okay with what Myles Garrett did, I do not care. You can come up with me with anything. I will show you how all of these things are connected in some way. This game is violent. Violence happens. That was not okay, but it was not some demonstrative act. I'm done with it. That's it. I've got the extracurricular points. I covered everything I needed to. Quit tripping.
We live in a state of hypocrisy in the media. That's what it is. That's all it is. You want to get into some picks?
Yeah, just wanted to mention Colin Kaepernick had his workout.
Yes,
he did. It was videoed. He showed off some good accuracy, arm strength. Jimmy said that he
was throwing against air.
And didn't complete 90% of his passes against air.
He was 53-for-60 against air.
People at pro days are, like college quarterbacks and stuff, they usually go something along those lines.
I guess you could say that.
Because you could say those are drops. You could say those seven things are drops.
Yeah,
we don't know.
We don't have the video yet.
We do have the video. It's online.
Of all the throws? I've only seen 5 or 6 throws.
I mean, there was like a 3-hour video online of like the workout. You can't really see the connect. Here's the thing. I'm fine if Colin Kaepernick comes back into the NFL, if someone wants to sign him.
Sure.
Don't know if it'll happen. I think he'd be a fine backup quarterback somewhere. Everybody wants to politicize it, and that's what it is.
I think that's why the NFL set this thing up the way it did.
And that was weird, too, how all that went down, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely it was. It seemed like they were trying to put Colin Kaepernick in a bad situation by giving him short notice on a workout, they weren't going to let him pick his own receivers for his workout. They were going, and they weren't.
Oh, they
tell
said
him
they
who
provided them. Yeah,
but they weren't going to tell him, and it's like, no, that's BS. You're putting him against the able. He doesn't know who he's throwing to. So, anyways,
it was poorly coordinated by both parties. Everybody needs to grow up on both sides.
Yeah, like, but if you look at it from a football standpoint, this guy, no matter how good or bad he was towards the end of his career a couple years ago, he has been out of the NFL game speed for 3 years. How many guys can be out for 3 years and come back and even be remotely good? That's tough. Regardless of how good. Peyton Manning could be out for 3 years, come back. I don't know if he'd be great.
No, you just can't. Peyton Manning. Okay. Peyton Manning is timeless.
Okay.
You could have used someone like Matt Schaub.
Sure. Or Matt Schaub. Anybody.
Who we might get into in a little bit.
A decent backup. Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton. That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
It's going to be tough regardless of where you're at. And sure, you can make this a political thing, but he's been out for 3 years. I don't think he's going to be productive. Looking at it from a straight football point of view, being out of the game for 3 years is tough.
It is very tough.
So I don't know what else there is to get into with that. But What do we got?
Football Power Hour picks coming up.
Power Hour picks.
Right around the corner.
It's Jimmy and Angelo, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5. Let's go, baby. NFL Power Hour. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Let's get right into these picks. On the season, Angelo is 84-49-1. I am 80-53-1. So,
but you do have a win over me this week. I chose the Pittsburgh Steelers because I refused to go for the Browns. That's right. I just refuse to go for the Browns now. I believe that I might go 0-16 like the Browns did 2 years ago, but only in picking Browns games.
Yeah, I took the Browns.
So you're up 1-0. I'm down 0-1 this week going into the Sunday matchup. So at least you got that going for you.
Yes. Shout out to Myles Garrett. Cowboys at the Lions without Matthew Stafford. Cowboys are now favored by 7. It was 3 in the beginning of the week, but the Stafford news was big.
I probably would take the Dallas and the over. Even if we were doing lines, I'd go Dallas and over, but I'm definitely taking Dallas on the road here.
Yeah, that's just, if Stafford was there, I think I would take the Lions.
Is that straight up?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big blow for the Lions.
Would you take the line? Would you take Dallas in the seven?
To cover by 7? Yes.
I would too.
It's just Driscoll's not great. So now we have the Jags and the Colts. Nick Foles starting for the Jags, and Brissett is starting for the Colts.
Brissett is starting.
He is starting. Colts favored by 2.5 at home.
I think that Brissett coming back is big for Indianapolis. However, T.Y. Hilton is still out with his injury. I think Nick Foles is actually a lot better than we think that he is going to be coming. I think Jacksonville's a sleeper playoff team. I'm actually going to take Jacksonville on the road today.
Are you? See, I'm taking the Colts at home. If there's 7 divisional matchups today out of the 14 matchups, 7 of them are interdivisional. If this was in Jacksonville, I'd take the Jags, but I'm just taking the Colts at home. Next, Bills favored by 6.5 on the road against the streaking hot Dolphins.
I think the Dolphins are going to have to run the ball to win this game. Unfortunately, they traded really the only good running back that they had on their roster at this point. Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick has done really good for Miami. I guess good in the terms of getting them wins, not good in setting the franchise back 5 years for not being in a position to draft a top quarterback, especially because Tua got hurt. All this is to say Buffalo's secondary is going to lock Miami up. I do think Buffalo wins on the road.
Nope, I'm taking the Dolphins at home. I'm rolling with it. This is a revenge game for Fitzpatrick.
You're going to regret that pick.
I don't care.
I've got 3 road teams. I picked 4 straight road teams, and I still think you're going to regret it.
It doesn't make sense, but that's why I'm picking it. That's how the NFL has worked this year. Broncos on the road at the Vikings.
That's why you're down, Jimmy.
No, it's not. Vikings favored by 10.5 at home. Is this?
Do you think Denver's sneaky? Because they're starting to feel sneaky now that Flacco's out. It took Joe Flacco to, you know, get out. Bradley Chubb had to get hurt.
And this does line up, just like the previous game with me picking the Dolphins. It seems like a trap game to where the Broncos don't have much momentum going into Minnesota.
I feel like they have a ton of momentum. I feel like the Broncos have a ton of momentum. They beat Cleveland. They beat they lost to Indianapolis on the last second field. They've been playing well. They are like the Raiders, only just more under the radar. However, I'm still going to take Minnesota because Minnesota is one of the best teams in the NFC. Yeah.
Adam Thielen is out today, so there is that. Another divisional matchup.
Did you pick Minnesota or Denver?
Oh, sorry. Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
I thought I made it. Well, yeah. I don't like Denver.
You didn't make it clear.
Sorry. I'm taking the Vikings at home as well. Saints on the road with the Buccaneers. Saints favored by 5.5 with Drew Brees back. This is a
what
tough.
What do you think?
Oh, this is tough. I want to take the Bucks at home just because, again, with these division matchups, you usually take the home team. But I'm taking the Saints. I heard someone say that the Saints are 9-3 on the road against the spread. So I'm going to take the Saints straight up.
I'm going to go with the Saints, but it's a very hesitant. The only reason why I'm saying that is just because I think Tampa Bay can really score. Mm-hmm. They can score with anybody in the league. It just depends on whether Jameis is hot or cold. I think the New Orleans was probably the top team in the NFL before their wacky loss to Atlanta. But Green Bay lost to the Chargers in a weird way. You know, the Patriots got blown out by the Ravens in a really bad loss. I think
you're not mentioning a certain team to be top in the NFL. 49ers. Mention them.
Did we talk about this?
No.
I think Quan Alexander has sunk their hopes. I really think that he was the MVP of that team. And when your MVP goes down, I think the 49ers, you can go ahead and see you next year.
Yeah, whatever.
So their quarterback's bad.
So we're both taking the Saints there.
Yes.
Okay. Next, we have the Jets on the road with the Redskins. Redskins favored by 2.5. The Dwayne Haskins-led Redskins.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I think Dwayne Haskins is one of the worst starting quarterbacks in NFL history.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
No,
but
I will go that far. Okay. Well, I think he is bad, bad. I think he is Nathan Peterman bad. I'm not saying that he'll be that bad in 2 or 3 years.
But right now.
But when you start out, I've never seen a quarterback start off, I mean, like literally just going backwards and rebound pretty hard. I mean, no, I think Dwayne Haskins is horrible.
Which is terrible for Terry McLaurin fantasy owners. He was doing great with Kirk.
Yeah, I have him in three leagues.
It's just,
I have him in all three leagues.
So I'm taking the Jets. I trust Le'Veon Bell, Sam Darnold over the Skins on the road. Falcons at the Panthers. Panthers favored by 4. Christian McCaffrey show. Devontae Freeman is out. Brian Hill starting at running back for the Falcons.
Yeah, I picked up Brian Hill as my top waiver wire pickup in a lot of leagues.
Going to be a big fantasy play today.
Yeah, I'm going Carolina. I think that Atlanta was able to defeat New Orleans in a very convincing way. They came back on Seattle. They're playing an incredible last 6 quarters. Carolina could do one thing against Atlanta, that slow down the pace and run the ball.
I'm taking the Panthers. I'm taking the CMC show. I love Christian McCaffrey. This game of the week.
Game of the week?
Call it potentially game of the year.
Game of the year!
Texans on the road at the Ravens. Ravens favored by 4.5. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. Who you got?
I think that an underrated thing about this battle is that I think that Houston has the athletes to kind of slow down Lamar in some ways. Like a guy like Whitney Merciless, but this would be a good game to have Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes,
and they
would.
Gave him away for and pretty J. much J. nothing. J.J. Watt's out for the year. This is just my head says the Texans, but my heart says Baltimore, and Lamar Jackson's filling my heart. So I'm going Ravens.
I'm going Texans. It's going to be close. I just don't know if Lamar's ready to get right on that step. So I'm taking the Texans on the road, but real excited about that game. Mm-hmm. All right, so starting the late window, Cardinals on the road at my 49ers. 49ers favored by 9.5 without George Kittle.
The best thing is to always go with the best quarterback in the game when picking, which would be Arizona, because Jimmy Garoppolo is terrible.
I can't. You know, I have no argument to that.
It's
can't.
Sad. I'm sorry, man.
I can't.
But San Francisco is legitimately very good. Arizona game fits.
They did.
Last time they played, but this is at home. San Francisco gets their revenge. I'll take San Francisco. And what was the spread?
9.5. I don't think they're going to cover.
Ooh, I don't know. That's risky, but you know what? You know what put me down for it? I'm going Niners and the spread.
Oh, you don't get extra bonus points in this picks, but I'll write that down. Bengals on the road in the Raiders. Raiders favored by 12.5. Biggest spread on the slate today.
The Bengals are really bad, but this is one thing that's underrated that nobody's talking about. Ryan Finley looked good.
Are you going to do it?
In his debut.
Are you going to do it?
No, I just said the Raiders. No, the Bengals are terrible. They are terrible.
All right.
But no, Ryan Finley doesn't look terrible. Right? He actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
But no, I'm definitely going Raiders here.
All right. I am also going Raiders. I can't pick. Sorry. Can't pick the Bengals. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. This is the Patriots on the road against the Eagles. Jay Ajayi will be making his Eagles debut again today. They signed him this week. It's looking like Jordan Howard is not going to play. Patriots favored by 4.5 on the road.
I don't gamble on sports.
Probably a good call.
But I would put my life savings on New England covering that
exactly.
spread.
Exactly. Why? How are they?
Four and a half?
This is very confusing to me. I get that they're on the road, but the Eagles can't stop anyone on defense. I don't understand.
They have a great run defense, Philadelphia does.
Sure.
But their pass defense, to me, is worst in the league.
Oh, it's...
worst in the league.
Yeah.
And Alshon Jeffrey's going to be out. DeSean Jackson's out. Jordan Howard is out. So you're going to rely on Carson Wentz with the weapons that got him nowhere mm-hmm. the last... you know, 4 weeks until Alshon came back.
Yeah.
You're kind of just, it's just going to be Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz, who has had a disappointing year for fantasy owners, and Dallas Goedert, who's just been kind of disappointing, period. I don't understand this. I would go Patriots as covering the spread five times. I think Tom Brady will have 300 yards and four touchdowns today.
It's a setup. Vegas is setting us up, though.
Vegas sets me up. Yeah. All the time, I'm like, huh, that's a weird line, and it always hits exactly, and I'm just like, Vegas, you're scary.
The more you
Vegas
look at
scares
that,
me.
Makes it seem like we're in the Matrix. Anyways, Bears on the road.
You're
at
going
the Rams.
New England?
Yes, New England. Okay. Go New England. Bears on the road at the Rams. This is the Sunday night game. Rams favored by 6.5. Is this one of those trap games? There's a lot of them this week where it's like, your gut tells you one thing, but your head's trying to overthink it.
Jimmy, I hate to do this.
What?
I hate to do this.
I think you're doing it, but I don't hate it.
I'm picking the Bears.
I want to pick the Bears, but I just can't because the Rams are at home and it's a
prime time game. I love the Rams.
Game.
I actually like the Rams and I hate the Bears, Packers fan. The Bears destroyed Goff last year in a game that was Goff's worst of his career. I just, with that offensive line, I think that they're not going to be able to handle Khalil Mack and the speed and the pressure that they're going to provide Chicago is. And I think that Matt Nagy is smart enough to where he's going to isolate Aaron Donald and get him out of the game. And that way they can win the game. I'm intrigued, to say the least.
I think so. I could see the Rams having this game as where they look great offensively and people are like, oh, are the Rams back? Are they going to compete for a wild card spot? It would be fake news if they do that, but I'm taking the Rams at home, but I'm not very confident.
And then Estadio Azteca, Mexico City.
Chiefs at the Chargers. Chiefs favored by 3.5.
Chiefs, Chargers. It's at Mexico City.
Yeah, the Chargers got the short end of that stick where this is technically
a home game. Well, this will probably
have
more home fans than they do at their own home stadium.
Shots fired.
Have you seen it?
Yes, it's terrible.
Yeah.
No. Like when the Packers played there, what was going on?
Oh, yeah.
It was 70%
it's
green.
Every fan base. It's the Chiefs in this game.
Yeah.
They can't keep losing with Mahomes at quarterback. I just don't believe in it. It's witchcraft.
It is witchcraft.
Bye week, you're going Chiefs too?
Yes, going Chiefs.
Green Bay, Tennessee, New York Giants, and Seattle all on bye.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good... I've highlighted and starred and underlined that Texans-Ravens game. I really hope it doesn't disappoint. Some of those games with so much hype. But I'm excited for it. I am ready for it. Coming up on Jimmy and Angela, we've got some fantasy advice for you. We're going to do our best to give you
Please don't listen to me. I am only good in one league, and the rest of them, I am... One of them, I'm out. One, I'm hanging on by a thread, and then Jimmy and Angela, I'm doing all right.
That's all right. We'll get into some fantasy starts, some sits, and some sleepy starters. It's Jimmy and Angelo, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300, 92.5.
This is Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
All right, we're just going to come in dry for this one because me and Jimmy are about to have like a heated thing. This is Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Jimmy.
Yes.
All right. So first off, we were talking about Lamar Jackson. Number one, just how can you watch Clemson this Clemson-Louisville game, they're showing the highlights from everybody's been talking about. Number 3 Louisville, number 5 Clemson of Lamar Jackson's Heisman Trophy year. And watch Lamar Jackson go up against all these future pros. By the way, can you believe how close that 6-point game ended? It was by a yard.
I know. Whenever he played Deshaun Watson in college. Because they're playing each other today, so it's like a throwback. Everyone's talking about this game.
Yes, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's seen it online. It's that to see Lamar Jackson play against all these NFL players, against everything that he's ever done going into the draft and everybody doubting him. It's ridiculous. But there's another hot take you had.
Yes. So to me, I don't remember how it came up. It could have been that we were talking about the Colin Kaepernick, the workout that he had. But I made the statement, which I don't think is a very bold statement or hot take, that people have compared Colin Kaepernick to Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson is in a completely different stratosphere of Colin Kaepernick.
How do you even think that as a 49ers fan?
Because running the ball, no one is as swift and as smooth as Lamar. Colin Kaepernick was very straight line fast.
Yes.
But Lamar Jackson has moves. He can handle the ball. He just, when he's running, his spin moves. When did you ever see Colin Kaepernick pull a spin move and make a guy break his ankles? Look it up. You'll never find it.
Oh, I will, because I'm a Packers fan, and I saw two straight years of it in the playoffs. Do you know what's funny, Jimmy? Do you know that Lamar Jackson is only the second player in NFL history to have a 200 pass yard game and 150-plus rush yards on the same game?
Yeah.
Do you know who the other player was?
It's Colin Kaepernick.
It was Colin Kaepernick against the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs. I saw it, Jimmy. I saw it, Jimmy. I know who Colin Kaepernick was. And by the way, Lamar Jackson as a passer, he might be just as accurate as Colin Kaepernick was, but Kaepernick had an arm that very few people in the NFL over this last decade can rival. Really, it's only like Mahomes as a guy that had the type of laser arm strength that Kaepernick had. Like, I'm just saying, I love Lamar Jackson. I'm not like opposed to one day putting Lamar over Kaepernick. Like, I mean, because the most underrated thing about everything is that Colin Kaepernick and that 49ers team is the most, if I had to do a ranking of like teams that didn't win a Super Bowl, like best teams of the 2010s, of this last decade that didn't win a Super Bowl, that 49ers era team, that Jim Harbaugh 2011 to 2013, that range,
that defense.
Best team of that decade that didn't win a Super Bowl, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I just think when you do the eye test with them, Lamar just he's such a smooth quarterback back there when he's going. And I don't think Kaepernick was bad then. I just think Lamar is just totally on another. We haven't seen anyone. Mike Vick, you can't compare to him. They're different.
As a singular playmaker running the ball, yes, of course, I think Lamar is better as a playmaker with the ball in his hands. I think he's, as a one-man army, I think he can do more with the ball, running the ball. But I think if you include the passing-wise, how Colin Kaepernick stretched defenses vertically, not only with his arm but his legs, because of how fast he was able to just manipulate defenses in a way. I mean, there was an argument he was as good or better than Cam Newton as a running player, and I think Cam Newton's the best running quarterback ever.
It could be also ever. That as a diehard Niner fan, I remember more recently the bad Colin Kaepernick.
I just don't think you like Colin Kaepernick
as a football player. No, I just don't think he had a great run for that playoff run. But watching him, he didn't have the complete package.
Let's see what Dennis from Berea has to say about this. We were getting into it, Dennis. Sorry.
That's all right, but you got to remember, who was Colin Kaepernick's first game against?
The Chicago Bears.
And what did he do to us?
Obliterate. I remember that Bears team was like, 8-0? It was Urlacher's like last real stand, and people were like tepid on the Bears. They were like, no, I think they're pretty good, but let's see him against this 49ers team. And you remember, you can tell the story better than I could, Dennis.
He walked off. Matter of fact, he left Lance Briggs. He might be waiting there yet.
Poor Lance Briggs.
It was like, of course, the talk is, this guy's a rookie. Don't worry about it. We got this. Don't forget about it. And there we are at the end of the game, like looking at each other, like, what happened here? Where'd they get this guy from? Then you start looking at game tape when he played for Nevada.
Oh, he was awesome at Nevada. Yeah.
He was awesome. And, of course, being a diehard Bear fan I am, I could see him in Matt Nagy's system because he could run and he could throw. And also, he's already played, so he already knows the game. He isn't learning while working here. He's got some hang-ups and he is 32. But you know what? He has sat for 3 years, which means his body is in a lot better shape.
It's healthy.
It's healthy. And that one throw he threw in that tryout showed it right there. That was like a 50, 60-yard bump.
And it was right on the money. And Dennis, as much as I don't want the Bears to get Kaepernick because I'm a Packers fan, I think it would be fascinating if he was signed by the Bears. I think the Bears and the Steelers are the two teams
I've seen the
with that quarterback opening that I think he could come into and make it. And I think he would actually be more successful with the Bears than he would the Steelers.
He would, because the fact, now you got a two-dimensional quarterback, not Mitch Grossman back there behind the center,
Mitch
what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I like that you combine the two. How dare you?
Well, I'm just saying, what he did, and I'm an ex-vet, I'm a vet, you shouldn't have done that. But Michael Vick did something a whole lot worse, and the NFL gave him a comeback. And he turned out pretty good in his comeback. So
yes, he did.
I'm all really for did. It. And Ryan Pace has to prove himself right now, because you choked on old Mitch boy there
mm-hmm.
when you let you know,
Deshaun and Mahomes.
And Mahomes walk away. And yet, during that time, Mitch was rated higher than both of them.
Jimmy, he's right. He's right, and it's weird why it was because everybody that in the NFL draft community was kind of like, I don't think so. But I'm the same guy that had Deshaun Kizer as the number two player in that draft period. Yeah. So you know, we all make mistakes. I would have given you Deshaun Kizer if I was your GM. So you know, people can make bigger mistakes, I guess.
And John Lynch, being a brand new GM, pulled the biggest poker bluff with Ryan Pace.
He did.
And thinking, Ryan's like, yeah, we better take him because, you know, John Lynch is going to. And John Lynch turned around and pulled a fast one to the defensive player.
Yep,
he did.
You know? But just go show you. Hey, I'm willing to take either Cam or Kaepernick on the Bears.
Who would you pick if you had a choice?
Wait, between who? Kaepernick and who?
Cam.
Cam? Well, this is interesting because I think Kaepernick would be really interesting for the rest of 2019
right.
for the Bears.
But the future.
But I don't know. I think with this roster, the way it's designed, I think if Cam can come back healthy, you know, he's kind of a better long-term. And by long-term, I only mean 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. But like for 2 or 3 years. What do you think, Dennis?
I look at Cam because he's kind of banged up. I mean, he's been really over the past couple of years. But you look at, he's another one who's gone to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has big game experience.
Mm-hmm.
He can throw and he can run. The only problem is, with the offensive line of Chicago Bears, can you give him protection opening so he can run? Kaepernick has had this time off, so he's healthy. He can run, and you know what? This is a coin flip, but just don't let Ryan Pace do it, okay?
Don't let him call. Well, it depends which referee is listening to the heads or tails if we're doing like that.
Look, I'd be perfectly content if neither were the quarterback since I'm a big Cam Newton fan and Colin Kaepernick has destroyed my Packers. If you all want to keep going with Mitchell Trubisky, I 100% support it. Remember, he got you all a divisional championship.
Yeah.
How the mighty Bears fans have turned on their savior.
Not that we've turned. It's like he turned belly up.
He turned himself.
What happened to
Dennis?
What happened to the Polish rifle that we had in Mitch Trubisky? And then all of a sudden, now he's playing Pop Warner ball this year.
Dennis, I think that if you go online, you don't want to do this as a fan of the Bears, but if you go online and you look up Pro Football Reference and you look at Jamarcus Russell's second to third year drop, I bet it's eerily similar to Trubisky's.
Oh, it says see Mitch Trubisky, right?
Yeah, it's that bad of a drop off. It's just look, on the bright side, you not only did your team sign Jamarcus Russell before drafting Mitchell Trubisky, you drafted the next Jamarcus Russell. So, I mean,
and we've got nothing that we can bargain with. We have no draft choices.
Remember when everyone thought nothing. John Gruden was nuts for doing what he did?
No.
Yeah, well.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Who's coach of the year here now, candidate,
God.
You guys have a good day.
Dennis, thanks for calling, bud.
Bye.
Love that. The Polish rifle.
The Polish rifle. All right, real quick, fantasy starts and sits. Do you have any? Go ahead, Jimmy.
I've got a couple that I'll just go through. Just
going to have to be quick with them.
All right,
that's all.
So Derek Carr, I like him at quarterback. Hollywood Brown at receiver for the Ravens. He is going to play today. He's been a little banged up. But I think that's just going to be a shootout with the Texans and the Ravens. I also like Eric Ebron at tight end with Brissett coming back. Darren Waller at tight end for the Raiders. I like that. Even Joe Mixon, maybe. He got 30 carries and a loss last week. So they're just going to give him the ball. And he's had a nice couple weeks. So there you go. That's what I got for fantasy.
Yep, that was good and quick.
Nothing too crazy.
Guess that's all we needed, really. I mean,
there's Brian Hill at running back for the Falcons. He's been very, very popular. But a lot of times, like Ty Johnson a couple weeks ago with the Lions, everyone picked him up. Everyone started him. What did he do?
And if I win a fantasy football game this week, I will give you my fantasy opinions next week because you don't need him right now. It's not good for any of us.
No one deserves that. It's Jimmy.
Thanks,
and
Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, okay. We're here every Sunday from 9 to 11. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. We'll be in your good graces again next Sunday, 9 to 11, right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.